Somewhere there's a pocket here. Kind of warm over there.
Oh, I like it. What are you? Oh, you got more robing.
Yes.
Right now, so maybe it'll be cooler up there than here. If you're too warm, they can turn it down.
No, it's working well. Is coming. Thank you. Welcome to worship at Advent. Glad you could be here. Hope by the end of this morning, you're glad you came. Amen. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Let us pray. Set us free, O God, from the bondage of our sins, and give us the liberty of that abundant life which you have made known to us in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who live and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated.
This morning's first lesson is from the book of Judges, chapter 6. The judge Gideon, a great and wise warrior, is called by God through his servant, an angel. Gideon is uncertain as would be wise, but he's also very hospitable. May we be generous with those who bring news, whatever their requests may be. Book of Judges. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, I will wait until you return. Gideon went in, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of the Lord said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth. And Gideon did so. With the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flamed from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, Ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. But the Lord said to him, Peace, do not be afraid, you are not going to die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, The Lord is Peace. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This morning's psalm is on page 4 in our bulletin. Let's read together in unison. Show us your mercy, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what the Lord God is saying, for he is speaking peace to his faithful people and to those who turn their hearts to him. Truly, his salvation is very near to those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring up from the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. The Lord will indeed grant prosperity, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and peace shall be a pathway for his feet. Our second lesson this morning is from the New Testament, book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. Faith and evangelism are not a contest to win, but God's bestowal of grace to each person. In Jesus, all are given the gift of God's grace, and it is our joy to pass on the good news. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preach to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, and as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was within me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel of the Lord according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
I'm reading from chapter 5. If God's word and God's presence doesn't have an impact in our lives, it's irrelevant. It's just history. And both in the story from Judges that I will want to speak into later in the sermon, and also here in the Gospel of chapter 5, that the coming of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, changes everything. And that's what matters in our lives, that when God is involved, that things change dramatically. Luke 5, 1 to 11. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night, caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down your nets." Stop for a second. Simon is saying, yeah, I'll do it just because you say it, but I don't expect anything. Then we continue. When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. And so they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come in and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on you will be catching men." When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Thank you.
So I want to take you back to the book of Judges that Dick read from earlier and speak a little bit about the story of Gideon. And I want you to think about two words, the word chosen and the word changed. Both were words that we really see in Gideon and that are important in our lives as well, that we understand that we are chosen. And because we're chosen, change comes into our life and we reflect change and impact change in the world around us. Some of you will have heard this from late last spring, if you were in Sunday when I talked about it, but I had family up from Florida for about 2 weeks, and the rest of my family from Columbus and then also from here in town were together at the house. And one of the things that we did when we were able to, we found a field where we were camping in southern Ohio, and we found a field and started a game of wiffle ball. There were 9 on the side, so it was pretty crowded. And one of the things that was important to me, when I was a kid, when we had just immigrated and I learned baseball, I didn't know the rules. I didn't have a glove yet. And I was always chosen last. Can you figure that? No glove, didn't know how to play, and they didn't take a chance on me. And so that's something that I have been sensitive to in my life. And when we were getting ready to play, one of the kids said, well, who'll be captains? And I said, I'll be captain for both sides. And I divided up the family as equally as I could. And my concept was, I did not want anyone to feel like they were chosen last because they were the scrawniest and not of much value to the team in the eyes of the captain. And what I loved is, I said, no matter what happens today, the Larsons are going to win. Because both teams were the Larsons, so it was a no-lose thing. But point being, Gideon was chosen by God, not because of obvious attributes, but yet the Lord who came in. At first, he's identified as the angel of the Lord, then later he's identified as the Lord. So it's Jesus Christ in his incarnate manifestation in the Old Testament, of which there are several. And he doesn't look at him and say, you failed young man who are not living a life that has an impact on your culture. Instead, he says to him, you valiant warrior. And what that would mean like to me as an elementary school kid would be someone saying to me, have you ever thought that you might play left field for the Cleveland Indians? And I would have responded, I'm in. But Gideon was like that. That the Lord saw in him something that hadn't come out yet, but that he would ultimately be a valiant warrior. But here's the situation in Judges. It had been 200 years since Joshua led the people out of the desert, across the Jordan River, into the Promised Land, where they saw wonderful victories. They became farmers. They lived in the land that God had provided for them. But now the people had begun to cool a little bit. It says at the end of the book of Judges, the last verse, it's an incredible thing. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Doesn't that sound a bit like today? Just a little bit? No standards, no morals, whatever feels good to me today on Sunday, February 10th. Might be different tomorrow. But that's how the people were living. And as a result, judgment came on the people because the Lord was preparing his people for that ultimate deliverance of the Messiah when Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And so marauding tribes of Midianites came, and whenever there was a harvest, they came and swooped down and took the wheat. And a part of what we see in the passage from today is that Gideon, this valiant warrior, or this soon-to-be valiant warrior, was threshing a little bit of wheat in the wine press. He was hiding from the Midianites. Normally, threshing was done in the open field on top of hills so that the wind could be involved. This was Spartan. This was just enough wheat to get us by so we could have bread. So it was a very, very challenging time. But the Lord came and intervened in Gideon's life, where he learned that his future wasn't in the past, where there was always victory. His future was still up ahead. Very much like the gospel reading, where Simon and the others, they worked all day and caught nothing. And Jesus said, just trust me and go out and try again. And they got an overwhelming harvest of fish. Ever been that way when you know it's hopeless? Doesn't matter what you do, you're stuck, whether it's physically, financially, relationship-wise. It's over. And then the angel of the Lord comes into a situation like that, and Jesus comes into a situation like that by the seashore and says, let's just try it once more. And in both cases, people are revolutionized. We read that in the New Testament, the disciples that were there left everything they had, the fishermen, to follow Jesus. It's an awesome thing. So the question that I had this week was, why was Gideon chosen? What was unique about him? It has to be that his heart was open to God, in spite of what he saw all around him. One of the things that to me that I find fascinating is that outside of their home, Gideon's dad, if you read later in chapter 6, had built an altar to Baal. Now, this was the promised land, but there were many in the culture from other tribes, if you will, that worshiped many other gods, including Baal. And for an Israelite not to worship the living God was a horrible compromise. So it shows the state of the family and the state of the people in that day. So, first chosen, God sees more in us than we sometimes see in ourselves. To me, that's an incredibly important thing to grasp. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. My brother and I are together fairly often during the week, off and on, and we talk. And one of the questions that we both have, we're about the same age. I'm slightly older than him. He says way older, but I say slightly. But the question is, we are both now, as of the end of last year, we're both widowed. What does God have for us now in this time in our lives? What is the purpose for us to be on earth and not be in heaven? And to me, that's such an important question. We both will say that we understand that we are chosen to be witnesses now in ways that we don't quite understand yet. My brother is just beginning to see what that feels like, what it's like to no longer be a couple, but to be single, and understand that he is still chosen of God in his generation. God sees in us more than sometimes we see in ourselves. And secondly, Gideon received God's promise of choosing him, and it brought change. One of the remarkable things that happened right away that shows that he understood that this was the living God was that at night with friends, he tore down the altar that his dad had built to a foreign god. And ultimately, when that became known, his dad spoke up for him and said, in effect, let Baal defend himself. So there was real conviction. Gideon did the correct thing, and that brought conviction on the dad, and it brought the beginning of change to Israel. He was one of the about 15 judges that came and brought restoration to the people in different times in their history. He went at night. He didn't want to cause an uproar. But I want to say to you that private faithfulness is a prerequisite to public effectiveness. Who you are at night, or who you are behind the curtain, is what will lead to impact with other people. By the way that you live, by your quiet time, by the time in the morning that you give to God in his word and prayer, that's going to affect entirely the rest of your day. Or said in another way, The way that you are around the people who are close to you when no one else is watching is going to profoundly impact your ability to make a public impact on others. What we do behind the curtain matters even more than what we do in public. We won't go into the uproar in Virginia politics right now, but what happens behind the scenes matters. So Gideon began to grasp that the culture that he was born in could be changed. And his toppling of the altar was the beginning of that, that maybe inside of me there is a valiant warrior. It started in his own life when he found that the Lord was still active. He asked the question when the Lord came to him, where are all the miracles? What happened? And then he began to understand that the day of God's intervention wasn't over, but it was because of the unfaithfulness of the people that things were going in a dark direction. And think again of the ending verse. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. We are living in a time when, by our simple acts of faithfulness, we can topple down the altars of foreign gods by living and speaking up, even privately, for the things that we know to be true that come out of our relationship with the Lord, that come out of God's word. We were created and equipped not for yesterday, but for right now. Our future does not lie in what has happened in the past. Our future is right now and forward. And the same God that was the God of Joshua now reveals himself as the God of Gideon and brought remarkable changes. One of the things that I believe is a challenge for Christians is that we tend to focus on what we are rather than on who the Lord is and what he is able to do. The concerns that you have about your family, the concerns that you have about our culture, our Lord goes way beyond that. But he is able to use simple people like Gideon and us, who understand that the Lord is still present in our lives. Every morning I pray for my children and my grandchildren, and I see God do amazing things, not simply because of my prayer, but that's one of the ingredients that the Bible says God uses to bring about good in our lives. In the book of Philippians, Paul says in verse 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ because he gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ because it gives me strength. It's not my strength. My responsibility is just to start. And then he comes and gives me strength. Believing what the Lord says overrides what our circumstances may say about us. Gideon in the beginning felt powerless. Look at where we are, Lord. What's the hope? Look at my own family, Lord. We're compromised. Gideon took a step and believed that God would do what he said he would do. I want to close with this. This was also in the reading that Dick shared about how Gideon went in and took a young goat, slaughtered it, and brought 20 quarts of flour to make bread for the meal, which would be a sacrifice for the Lord. He had been hoarding wheat so that his family could eat. And now he gave that away because he understood that the Lord was on the case and the Lord was involved in their lives again. It's very much like Simon and the other fishermen. This was their living. And when they saw what Jesus could do in one moment, they left everything because they understood we are not alone anymore. The Lord is present in our lives, not just in our history. Changes everything. So the Lord has chosen us to serve him as witnesses. Whether you feel like Gideon or one of the fishermen who would say, it's hopeless, what's the use? Because of the Lord's choosing of you and I, circumstances change in an instant. It says in John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Remember back to the ball game that I started with about being chosen? I got chosen by the Lord. You got chosen by the Lord. Not because you will be the future left fielder of the tribe, but because he sees something innate in you that can make a difference in the lives of others. And then finally, the word change. Change is a central part of our life. When the Lord comes into our lives, we're changed. And we will have that impact on our family, on our friends, by the way we live, by discreetly knocking down altars that the culture might value. The one thing that doesn't change in our lives, Malachi 3:6, I, the Lord, change not. Everything else changes. He calls us to change and be transformed. And that's a lifelong thing. So I encourage you today, a reminder that you have been distinctively and uniquely chosen by the Lord for today, and that he will bring about change in your life just because he is in your life. So we focus not on ourselves and what we are, but on who the Lord is and what he is able to do. Let's continue our service now by standing and sharing together our confession of faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
Please join me in the prayers of the people, starting on page 6. Let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others, into your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Please join me in this last prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us. Reveal to us the initiatives we should take for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement you have provided us in this season. We are grateful for our lay leadership in their shouldering of extra burdens. Lord, we ask that you lay bare the hearts of this congregation and open each one of us to every new day. Open us to what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthening you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let's share that now with one another. Piece of labor.
Peace, Captain.
Peace be with you.
Also with you.
And with your wife.
Peace, John. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So let me just echo an amen. Paul's comments this morning about the importance of quiet time in I'll speak personally in my life. There are days when I've got too much going on, or I feel a need to sleep in, or I feel the need to not spend quiet time with the Lord. And you know, those days just somehow don't seem as right and complete and fulfilled as the days when I start with some prayer, some Bible study, and some devotion. So, amen, Brother Paul.
Thanks.
Thank you. His sermon again was a lead-in to Church in Babylon. Today's study is on conflicts of conscience. Conflicts that we face in our work environment, in our social environment, in our neighborhoods, in our families, in our churches. So please join us right after the 10 o'clock service for session 2 in Erwin Lutzer's book and Bible study, The Church in Babylon. And I think, there is Denise. Speak to us. Thanks, Denise. And so just to be clear, next Sunday we'll be doing Gift. Following Sunday we'll start again with the Church in Babylon. So we'll do the Church in Babylon for 3 Sundays and the Gift the 4th Sunday of a month, typically speaking. So, Pete.
Gentlemen of Advent, this is a reminder that tomorrow night we gather at BJ's Restaurant and Brew House at 6:30 for good food, good fellowship, good conversation, and Scott Duenas and I can extrapolate about our great golf game this winter.
Huh?
Hey, we're still playing.
All right.
As long as it's not snow on the ground, as long as the balls roll along through the water on the putting greens, ain't that stopped, we're playing. 50 degrees, we can manage. Anything below that is a little bit tough. Secondly, clipboards have been going around last week and this week for the spaghetti dinner, which is on the 23rd, which is Saturday, at 6 o'clock. So please sign up, and anybody that would like to come, please join us. This is open to the public. And I will be putting a notice in the papers about this. It is free, but a goodwill donation is always accepted. And lastly, with the spaghetti dinner that we're having, following that week is Fat Tuesday dinner, Shrove Tuesday, which is March 5th. So you can look forward to that and clipboards about how many of you would love to come to have pancakes and sausages and good fellowship. Thanks.
Jerry.
Do we not have a vestry meeting tomorrow night?
We have a vestry meeting Wednesday night. Thank you for bringing that up.
Wednesday
night, yes. It's going to be Tuesday. I have a conflict. Monday, some folks have a conflict, so we'll do it Wednesday night of this week, 7 o'clock. Good. Peace be with you.
So what I have just picked up from listening to Peter is over the next couple of weeks, there are 3 nights I don't need to cook.
Depends if you show up.
There's that detail. As we prepare for the Lord's Supper, let's present our offerings to Him. Thank you. choir is in good voice. We continue with a great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks for grace.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Because in the mystery of the Word made flesh, thou hast caused a new light to shine in our hearts, to give the knowledge of the glory in the face of thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup, and he lifted it up in front of them and said, "Take and drink of this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts, O Lord. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace, and at the last day, bring us with all of your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Let's join together and pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
I invite you to come and receive what the Lord has provided for us. Receive the body of our Lord given for you. The body of our Lord given for you. The body of our Lord given for you. Receive the body of our Lord given for you. The body of our Lord given for you. Good catch, by the way. Receive the blood of Jesus poured out for you. Receive the blood of Jesus poured out for you. The blood of Jesus given for you. The blood of Jesus given for you. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Thank you. having recently had the composer at Advent, the song means even more, doesn't it? Let's conclude our time together with the post-communion prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ guard and keep you always. Amen. Amen. Children of the Lord, chosen by him specifically. So depart in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.